are cold. They suffer me. They drag me under, baby, into your suffering.
Hello and welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host Napier.
What's up?
Via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Travis Hulse.
We have a very special show for you this evening. It's just going to be delightful, I would imagine.
Like a warm massage. With...
And also, by this evening, don't you mean Sunday afternoon?
Yeah.
A peek behind the curtain. This is a pre-recorded episode. Thank you, Travis. We're bringing that to everyone's attention. Yeah, we will be live at the normal time. We're going to put out two episodes this week. It will be a double dick week.
I just don't want any false pretenses. You know what I mean? I want to be wide open with people.
The reason that we're doing a pre-recorded episode is I felt as though the face-off recasting, which we will be doing a little bit later, the WFOD reboot. I feel like that is something that we can put some production into. But at the same time, I can't do production for something that is meant to be a surprise.
Exactly.
So if we did the casting live, I would not be able to put production into the casting.
So about how many minutes of production do you think is going to be required?
I'm just saying that I'm going to do some things that I wouldn't normally be able to do in a live episode.
Yes, because I'm going to be recording all of Nicolas Cage's dialogue from the motion picture. So the episode is going to be like 3.5 hours.
Can you do the peach line?
I could eat a peach for hours.
So, if you are not a fan of the 1997 film Face Off, then a lot of what we talk about later on probably won't interest you at all. We advise you to maybe listen to our live episode or any of the other 200-something fucking episodes we've done. This one's for us, guys. We want to talk about Face Offs. That's what we're fucking doing.
Considering the size of our audience, they're all for us, Mike.
I want to take his face... off. Eyes, nose, skin, teeth. It's coming off.
In the meantime, there's much to discuss. Travis sent us an interesting article the other day, Napier. I don't know if you saw it.
Nope.
Yeah, did you get it? You didn't see that? This time of the year, especially if you live in the Midwest, it gets cold. You kind of become a shut-in. You know, the people start to think dark, dark thoughts.
I don't usually think dark thoughts. I just don't really like cold. I just stay inside. There's stuff to do in here.
Me too. But, you know, in certain people, it creates, there's phobias and there's just bad thinking. You know what I mean?
My house is stocked with liquor this time of year.
Yeah, Travis, I think that you're saying this thing as though it's relatable, but it isn't.
Well, not to you. Not to me either. I'm talking about, you know, somebody else.
Napier, I think we need to have an intervention with Travis.
Why?
You okay,
because
buddy?
Of the dark thoughts?
You can't tell me you're going to have an intervention. Oh. Otherwise, it's not an intervention.
You okay, buddy?
I'm good.
Okay. It's not really dark unless you're masturbating to it.
Anyway, maybe you have some debilitating disease, and you would like to just get off of this big blue ball that we call Earth. You know what I mean? You want to take your own life. There is a Lithuanian guy... He's a Lithuanian engineer that designed a way to do just that. He designed the roller coaster of death.
Does it just slam into a brick wall once it's done with its little track?
Yeah, I mean,
Whee!
I suppose it could be the end.
Whee! Slam!
Or the car just falls off of the very top and you just like plummet to your death. No, he actually engineered a roller coaster that with the loops and the dips and the drops would create a sense of euphoria and also starve your brain of oxygen, essentially killing you.
So it's such a hardcore roller coaster that you die?
That you die, yep. The loops and the drops and everything. Like, yeah, he has a PhD in this, these design interactions. And, yeah, he designed it so it could be an alternative death ritual.
I think the euphoria you feel on a roller coaster is knowing that you're going for a fun ride, but also having the knowledge that you're not going to die. I mean, like, I go on a roller coaster and I'm thinking the whole time, this is going to be really fun. I'm going to do some loops and stuff. But at the end of it, I'm still going to be alive because there's engineers that have designed this and they know how to keep me safe. I have this bar protecting me from falling out when I go upside down. But these guys go on the roller coaster knowing that they're going to die, right?
There's always like a sense of what if something goes wrong? We've all seen that one Final Destination. All it takes is one bolt to fall off and you're done.
Oh, sure. But, I mean, that roller coaster, you know you're going on it to die. It's not like something might go wrong. Something is going to go wrong.
Well, no, not if it's designed that way. Technically, if you die, it went right. Well, it works.
Bring the next one up. Well, he designed it, too, where you have, I mean, you don't just get in the car and you're done. Like, going up the initial ramp, like there, it stops at the top and there's a button that you can press to actually drop yourself. So you can, if you're going up there and you're thinking, he's designed it to be like a really tall incline. So while you're thinking about your life, you can decide whether or not you would like to end it before you actually do. So,
man, look at my life.
Oh, I'd be so pissed off.
I'm not like you.
Think about 20 people on that roller coaster. There's one dude holding up the train. Wouldn't that just...
Well, you'd have to play, like, pipe in some music. Like, what's the most depressing song? Like, you'd have to pipe that in so it would, like, make you not
want
to come
would
down.
Would you want a depressing song or would you want something, like, reflective?
Well, you don't want to have to bring the guy back down alive. You know what I mean? You went through all the trouble to, like, put him up there. You want him to make sure that he's going to press that button to kill himself.
I don't know. I would feel like to do this successfully, I feel like you would want the ride up to the top to kind of like be some kind of thing to make you think about like what is good.
And cats like, in the cradle and the silver spoon.
Yeah, like what you have left.
Nope, mine would just play Depeche Mode on the ride up there. And then when you get to the top, Friday plays in a continuous loop. And if you want it to stop,
Rebecca Black song.
Yeah. Ah, fooled you.
Okay, dude, whenever you want to end it, push that button, song stops. Everything stops.
So what are we playing on the way up?
Just Depeche Mode, like every single one of their songs.
And you're just taking the ride up, and the ride comes to a stop, and you're just sitting there at the hill, and you're contemplating whether or not you're going to hit the button, and then Rebecca Black kicks in.
Yep. All you hear is Friday. And then
don't you think it'd be nice to put that reflective music in there, and once you hit that button, and it automatically starts to drop, it's Panama!
You're just jammed to that while your life slips away.
We'll be right back.
So is this just a thing that they've conceived, or is this actually, does this exist?
Oh, it doesn't exist. No one's built it yet. They did build like a scale model of what it would be. So, but nobody's built it. So you can't take a trip on the Death Coaster.
And this is in Lithuania, you said?
He's a Lithuanian engineer.
What does a Lithuanian accent sound like?
Probably Borat.
This little Lego man represents you, and you're suicidal. You want to end it all. Watch as it goes.
You see, when he goes around this loop, this is when the brain starts becoming deprived of the oxygen. But he is very, very happy. And then when he comes back up, his brain gets alert. His things start to fade right here in around this loop as he is descending. That is when he blacks out and he dies. But really, the thing that we make so it is a very final journey is we do slam it into a wall at the very end.
And don't worry, if you come back and you're still lucid, the train operator will shoot you in the brain. 100% success!
What if this is just a big ruse? He just designed a roller coaster, and when it slows down, you're like, wasn't I supposed to die? And they just fucking plug you in the back of the head.
At the base of the roller coaster, they just have a mass grave that they just toss you in. And then when it's all full, they just put dirt over you and put a cotton candy stand on top of it.
It's like a landfill. They just cover you up with dirt because the car, yeah, at the very end, the car just flips over. Nobody even fucks around. The car just flips over and drops you. Goes back to the beginning.
Yeah, just a little toss. Whoop. There you go.
Oh, boy. I like Travis. I like all of Travis's characters, but they're always one-offs.
Yeah.
The Lithuanian Death Doctor and Madame Hulse and Scott Stapp. We never revisit the Travis characters.
I just figure like you don't want to go back to that well too often, you know?
You want it to be special.
Yeah, right.
See, but we recycle our entire listener base about every 8 episodes or so. So, like, we could just go back and do all the things that we've already done over again and to a whole new... So, I mean, like, we could just do Madame Hulse again. If you have any kind of spiritual questions that you need answered, call 636-487-HAND, and Madame Hulse will contact the other side for you.
I think she'd be more than happy to do, a bunch of them, like, so you know, if we got like a bunch of calls, I'm sure she'd be happy to show up and do a reading.
Right. See, we need to revisit the bits that really work, Napier. We're recasting Face Off. That's what's going on. We're pretty excited about it. We've decided that all things eventually will be remade, and we want to get ahead of them. And so this is our suggested cast for the new Face-Off. That is coming up in just a few moments.
I just want everybody to know that I totally had mine pre-planned out before I got here.
You didn't, Napier. I don't think you... Napier doesn't take this seriously, Travis.
Why?
I feel like me and you, we take it seriously, and we try to put together the best cast, and I think that Napier just... He takes a big dump on things.
I think mine was the best.
He takes a big
dump.
I do
think that's part of his charm.
He picked a big dump. And you know what? Drunk's been getting a lot of flack lately. I guess we'll talk about that when Drunk's here. But Drunk's been getting a lot of flack on the social medias. People think that he's a negative Nancy.
Something did happen, and I wonder if it's when he moved in with his lady. Like, you know, he just has complete disdain and disregard for everything.
Do you think no longer being a bachelor has changed him?
Yeah, just wait till they maybe have kids and then see how it really plummets.
Wow.
Maybe he's like super depressed he can't shit with the door open anymore.
Oh man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you.
You must just come this way, drunkard Estia.
Drunk, get on the roller coaster. We'll take it to the top.
Oh, yes. See you in 5 minutes.
Well, I'll see you, but you won't see me, you see?
We'll be back in just a minute, guys.
This is Strange Label. Uncensored. Unadulterated. Unintelligible. Sonic Blasphemy. Alcohol-fueled geek metal mayhem. Wednesday, 6-5 Central on Strange Label Radio. The most brutal 90 minutes on internet radio. Nothing is left sacred. Well, I'm not a layman, am I? Well, I'm not your fucking line. You like to come.
Are you ready? Ah! It's time for me to take it. I'm the boss right now. Not gonna fake it. Not when you go down, because this is my game, and you better come to play. I used to hold my freak back. Now I'm letting go. Make my own choices. Yeah, I run this show. So leave the lights on. No, you can't make me behave. So you say that I'm complicated. Then I must be out of my mind. Or you have me underrated. Rated. Rated. What's wrong with being? What's wrong with being? What's wrong with being? Confident? Uh-huh. What's wrong with being? What's wrong with being? What's wrong with being? Confident? Uh-huh. It's time to get the chains out. Is your tongue tied up? Because this is my ground. And I'm dangerous. And you can get off. But it's all about me tonight. So you say that I'm complicated. That I must be out of my mind. Well, you had me underrated. Rated. What's wrong with being? What's wrong being? What's wrong with being confident? What's wrong with being? What's wrong with being? What's wrong with being confident? What's wrong with being? What's wrong with being? What's wrong with being confident? What's wrong with being? So you say that I'm complicated. But you had me underrated. Yeah, yeah. What's wrong with being? What's wrong with being? What's wrong with being confident? What's wrong with being? What's wrong with being? What's wrong with being confident? What's wrong with being? What's wrong with being? What's wrong with being confident? What's wrong with being? What's wrong with being? What's wrong with being confident?
WFOD.
Daylight waits while the old man...
Welcome back. We are now right in the thick of things. We're going to start our face-off recast.
I'm going with an all-black cast.
You are?
Yep.
It's a bold
move. That was suggested on social media.
That was. It was suggested on social media by Brett from the Hot Butter podcast. He suggested an all-urban cast. And it's not a bad idea. And actually, that suggestion got me to thinking... Face off. What's the hashtag? Oscars so white. If you think about it, hashtag face off so white.
Yeah,
the original face off does not have any diversity, and so giving that opinion on the social medias by Brett from the Hot Butter podcast actually infiltrated my casting decision.
Oh boy. I think the best possible thing to do with movies when you decide that they're way too Caucasian is to just completely flip them and do a Tyler Perry's
like Tyler Perry's
Black,
face
Black
off.
Annie or The Honeymooners or, you know, the list goes on and on.
Let's Travis, is there any diversity in your cast?
I have a little diversity, not a lot.
You're not having any fun, are you, Sean?
I think that with this film in particular, it would be important for us to announce the two leads at the same time.
Don't you think? That makes sense to me.
What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to bounce them off of each other, and eventually they switch characters. So I think it would be important to say both of them.
So, yeah, so in order for you to like really grasp the casting, you need to know both of them right away so I can be like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
And I think that, you know, the supporting cast that we're doing will kind of tip you off as to what direction we're headed. Just if you see like who we cast in each individual role leading up to the big reveal.
I like it.
I'm bored.
Jamie Archer, the daughter of the police character, played by Dominique Swain in the original, who played like the young teenage cock tease in many a film before, I think, dropping off the face of the earth once. She
her
became...
IMDb picture is updated at least, though. She's got like stark red hair.
Oh, she does?
Yeah, so in the original movie, she was in there sneaking cigarettes and putting streaks in her hair and piercing her nose and being just a roustabout.
That was either before or directly after playing Lolita.
Oh.
She was Lolita.
So, did you have a good time at camp?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I missed you. I missed you a lot.
Well, I didn't miss you. In fact, I've been revoltingly unfaithful to you. But so what? Because you don't care about me anymore anyway.
Why do you think I don't care about you?
Well, you haven't kissed me yet, have you?
So what do you think, Napes?
For which character?
The daughter.
I'm going with that broad that played Precious.
Gabourey Sidibe, is that her name?
Yeah Sidibe, like I think.
Gabourey Sidibe.
You realize she has a lot of action scenes towards the end of the movie, right?
Yeah, it's going to be hilarious. It's going to look like a waterbed being thrown down a hill.
How come your face is getting all red? I bet you've never seen titties as fine as these, have you?
Yes, I have. In way bigger.
I bet you never touched any, though.
So? I could if I wanted to.
You want to touch mine?
Shut up.
You can. I'm serious. Touch them.
No. No. You don't want me to do that.
Go back to playing with your little ball. Let me jog in peace.
Yeah.
For Jamie Archer.
Chloe Grace Moretz.
Chloe Grace Moretz. I guess she still has a couple of years that she can play young.
She's 18, so she can still play 15. I originally had Saoirse Ronan, who was Hannah, But she's like 21, so it doesn't quite work for her to play like a 16-year-old anymore.
Yeah, you just find one that's skinny and just call her 16. That's what they all do anyway.
I mean, typically do that, but yeah. So Chloe Grace, yeah, it was a safe bet, but it was just because of the age. And she's, you know, she's got the action stuff in that she can kick in at the end and a little attitude, so.
Daddy, I'm scared.
Come on, Mindy, honey. Be a big girl now. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Is it going to hurt bad?
Oh, child. Only for a second, sugar. A handgun bullet travels at more than
700 miles an hour.
700 miles an hour. So at close range like this, the force is going to take you off your feet for sure, but it's really no more painful than a punch in the chest.
Why are you getting punched in the chest?
You're going to be fine, baby doll.
I was going back and forth between the two girls on Modern Family.
Oh, hey.
Trying to decide which one of them. I ended up going with the older one, Sarah Hyland, in the role of Jamie Archer.
I can see that.
In Face/Off.
Sir, hold on. Ugh, my feet look fat from this angle. Hey, Alex, wake up. I need you to take a picture of my feet.
We did not get any submissions for that role. So I guess next we will do Pollux Troy.
We're going to do Pollux Troy before we do the ladies. Okay.
Do you want to do Pollux later?
No, we can do Pollux.
Okay.
Which one was Pollux?
Pollux Troy was the brother of Castor Troy that they infiltrated jail to. Remember, he had the secrets to where the bomb was?
All right, rub my nose in it, why don't you? $10 million design, and now those militia nut jobs get to keep their cash?
So fucking unfair.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why they did the whole thing, so that John Travolta could wear Nicolas Cage's face and trick Nicolas Cage's brother into telling him where the bomb was. He's gonna say, "Hey man, remember when we put that bomb down? Well, now we're both in jail. So where did we put that bomb? I don't remember.
I can't remember where that bomb is. Isn't that something? Refresh my memory. You know, I really love Face Off. When I think about it, the plot is so convoluted, man. That's a lot of effort just to try to trick Pollux Troy into giving up the location.
Hey man." You remember where we put that bomb? I can't remember.
Oh, man. When I got arrested, he hit me really hard. I forget where that bomb is.
I mean, look at me. I'm your brother. You can tell me this, man.
Isn't the California penal system weird?
Why are we wearing these Mario shoes?
Aren't we supposed to be able to jump higher with these things on?
That bomb you built does deserve an audience. It's a work of art. It belongs in the Louvre.
Yes, it does. Oh, well. I guess the LA Convention Center will have to do. What?
Thank you.
For what?
You are so fucking pathetic.
So in the role of Pollux Troy, I cast Dane Cook.
Ooh.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah. I thought maybe you put a pair of glasses on him and he could pull it off. And he poor Dane Cook, he needs some work, I think.
Mm-hmm. He has a direct TV cinema on demand movie produced by the Sci-Fi Channel premiering real soon.
Oh, I'll be damned.
I know you're the thumbprint killer. You've done this before. What I want is for you to take me with you next time you kill someone. And I'd like that to be soon.
Yeah.
See, the thing you got to think about when you're casting the role of Castor Troy's brother is somebody who you could believe is that guy's brother. I don't think the guy in the original movie looks anything like Nicolas Cage.
Nope.
But I believe they're brothers.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm going to go with Eddie Murphy.
Oh, motherfucker, you can't have my cornbread. That's for damn sure. Because if you try to take my cornbread, part two of my killing spree going to begin up in here on your ass right now. If you think about my cornbread, begin to taste out your mouth. That's for damn sure. Now, fuck him. Fuck that. Because I'm from New York City, goddammit. Nobody take no cornbread from me. And that go for you and any other you motherfucking farmers want to try some shit. You fuck around with me, it's going to be consequences and repercussions.
This is shaping up to be the cast of Tower Heist.
And Travis, in the role of Pollux Troy.
I went back and forth here. I had to completely rearrange my casting because originally the guy that I had for Pollux Troy, he was way older than the guy I had for Caster Troy. So for Pollux Troy, I went with Jake Johnson.
Oh, you got it! I love the looks of it.
Nobody touches my Dodge Dart, Jake Johnson.
Not even your best friend slash neighbor?
No one.
Still get in, Craig.
Like to see you try.
All I'd have to do is roll in, dude.
Let's see it.
I choose not to right now.
Come on, Indiana.
Well, let me in. Let me in.
Mm-mm.
That's a interesting. It's weird that we both went comedic.
Right.
We went with comedic actors in a non-comedic role.
There has to be like some subtleties to that character, I think, too. He's like kind of got to be geeky with a little bit underneath the surface. So yeah, like.
Well, yeah, he knows how to make bombs.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And he remembers where he put them.
Oh, he's got to. That's the plot point.
Well, I would certainly hope somebody would remember where the bomb is.
I mean, the whole thing depends on if that guy can remember where the bomb is or not.
Well, somebody forgot. Maybe two people forgot. How the fuck do you forget where you put a fucking bomb?
You mean that chemical bomb we are going to unleash on the city? I can't remember either. Shit.
You know, Saturdays are weird for me. Like, I get blackout drunk, and I make bombs. And I place them, like, indiscriminately about my town.
So, Mike, who is your Pollux Troy?
We already said mine. Dane Cook. Remember? Well, we already did mine.
No, I was blackout drunk. I was making a bomb.
When was the last time you saw Caster Troy?
Who cares? He's dead.
Answer the question.
I know my rights. I don't have to answer shit.
Okay, in the role of Sasha, baby mama of Caster Troy. See, this is where I infused my urban element. I went with Cookie from Empire, Taraji P. Henderson.
The Lucia's line I knew, but tell those idiots. The streets ain't made for everybody. That's why they made sidewalks.
The Lucia's line you knew isn't going on that show.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Kitty. I liked you better when you was a thug.
I just got the attitude for it.
It would be a good role for her. And see, you go with Taraji. She's so hot right now, Travis.
She's so hot right now.
And I feel like she would bring something to the film. And by that, I mean a lot of some things in the form of an audience that may not see the film if she wasn't there.
That makes complete sense to me. And you have to remember with this character, she has to be full of attitude in the beginning of the movie when dealing with Sean Archer. But by the end, when you realize she has a son who she needs to care for and be motherly for, she kind of breaks down a little bit. And, you know, it's a heartwarming character.
These are nice looking clothes.
Yeah, of course, they're yours.
I know, I just like it. Nice looking cat, too.
Yeah, of course. He's yours, too.
I feel she can do it. I think that's right in her wheelhouse. Napier, are you going to... Do you know enough black people to finish this whole thing you're doing?
Yes.
Who do you have in the role of Sasha?
I'm going with Marlon Wayans.
You're really flipping the switch here. You're just gender swapping.
Yep. Okay, we're gender swapping that role.
Sasha has a child.
Yes.
With Caster Troy. That's a major part of the movie.
Yes.
So how is Marlon Wayans going to have a child?
Marlon Wayans is going to dress as a lady.
Hey, what's up, money? You got a problem? What you looking at my ass for? Nah, yo, hold my poodle. Hey, yo, what's up? Y'all got a problem?
So Marlon Wayans is going to be a woman.
Yes.
Is he going to dress as a white lady?
No, he's...
Like white chicks?
No, he's going to be a black lady.
Okay. Is he going to have that giant, like, fat face makeup that they had in White Chicks?
No, no, regular. Like, what did Jamie Foxx do on that, the one show?
Oh, what was that character he did's name?
I forget.
Had the lips out.
Hey!
Yeah. Well, now I'm going to have to look it up later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Considering this is pre-recorded, we'll just place that name in here whenever we get around to it.
Hold on a minute, because I'm a freak 24 hours a day.
Travis, in the role of Sasha, is this where you infused your urban element also?
Jamie Foxx was Wanda, by the way.
Oh, Wanda.
Wanda.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this is Jamie Foxx's Wanda.
I did some racial swapping here, and I went with Rosario Dawson.
Rosario Dawson, that is a great pick, I think.
Yeah, cause she's kind of, you know, she's kind of spicy. You got some spicy attitude that she could kick up, and then she's, you know, very heartwarming, like she was in Daredevil and Jessica Jones.
Yeah, yeah, and easy on the eyes too. That Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, I need them to, for no apparent reason, shove a Michael Jackson dance routine like she does in Clerks 2 with no bra on.
By God, that was a great choice.
Where am I?
You're in my apartment.
Who are you?
I'm the lucky girl who pulled you out of the garbage.
You see my face?
Yeah.
Great.
Your outfit kind of sucks, by the way.
Yeah, it's a work in progress.
All right. Eve Archer, the wife of Sean Archer, played in the original by Joan Allen.
Actually, I'm going to gender swap everybody.
So everybody who's a man, you're going to make a woman?
Yeah, except for the brother. The brother has to be Eddie Murphy.
See, that's not bad, actually.
Yeah, like a woman face-off?
Yeah, if you make the two leads women, and then their counterparts be... That's not bad. I like that.
You could sell the shit out of that.
I mean, they make a woman Ghostbusters. Why not make a woman face-off?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And now they're making a woman-centric cast of Ocean's 11.
Are they really?
Yeah, Sandra Bullock is the George Clooney.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the role of Eve Archer, Travis.
Rosamund Pike from Gone Girl.
Nick and Amy will be gone, but then we never really existed. Nick loved a girl I was pretending to be. Cool girl. Men always use that, don't they? As their defining compliment. She's a cool girl. Cool girl is hot. Cool girl is gay. Cool girl is fun.
Ooh. That's a good choice. She's made two movies, and both of them are kind of a I'm going to kill my husband, I'm a bad bitch kind of movie.
Also, she's done a bunch of little stuff. She was in a movie with Simon Pegg where Hector in The Search for Happiness, where she's like his girlfriend stuck at home waiting for him to try to come back to see if he can find happiness. And she's really
was happiness spelled wrong?
Oh, I don't think it was the Will Smith happiness. No, oh. I think it was correct.
Napier in the role of Eve Archer.
I guess it's going to have a guy name now. It'll be Steve Archer.
Evan Archer.
In the role of Evan Archer in Female Face-Off.
I'm going to go with Damon Wayans. I want both of the Wayans in there. It's got to have both of the Wayans. It's got to.
It sucks, too, in that movie. They'll never interact. Like.
Well, yeah, they normally don't do that in their movies. I think it'd be fun for them not to play off each other.
They interact in the funeral scene at the end, don't they? Aren't they both there?
Oh, I guess I don't recall.
Like when Nicolas Cage goes in the church and they release the doves out of the bathroom?
Yeah.
Classic John Woo fashion.
Okay, so in the role of Eve Archer for me, I went with Diane Lane.
Nice.
Hey, that's a good pick.
And it's not bad.
My decision was, see, now, in Joan Allen, the part that she played, she was kind of a button-down gal that you still kind of wanted to fuck. I think that's important. And I think that Diane Lane, although she has advanced in age, is still very attractive.
Oh, yeah, I still wanted to have sex with Martha Kent in The Man of Steel.
She is a mom I'd like to fuck. So that I have gone with Diane Lane.
We should make that an acronym. That sounds, I think we could do something with that.
So you got a M I L F. A MILF? MILF.
Oh, you forgot the T between the L and the F. So MILFT?
MILFT.
MILTF?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
maybe
we'll
that'll catch on.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Okay, so here's the big two.
Dun, da, da, dun. Release the doves.
Release the doves. Napier, let's get your horrible one out of the way.
I'm going to go with...
You're doing both main characters now and explain why.
Okay, for John Travolta's character?
Who eventually becomes... So, the cop who becomes the bad guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
For John Travolta's character at the start of the movie, I'm going with Tyler Perry as to that one lady role he keeps reprising.
Madea. Okay, Madea...
So we really are branding this Tyler Perry's face off.
Yeah.
See, like, the gender and all, it's getting so confusing.
You got
Martin Lawrence plays one of his lady characters.
So we're switching the females and the males, but we're also having a male play the female.
Yes. There is only one lady in this entire movie, and it's the broad from Precious.
But who's going to play Caster Troy?
Caster Troy is going to be Martin Lawrence as Big Mama.
So Madea and Big Mama
are going to face off.
Is that all you got? Well, y'all better get ready to sit down because you ain't going to last long once we get up here.
Come on, bring it on. You don't know about from the project.
You crazy as hell.
Say what? You look like a damn shaved bird. Look at you.
I don't get angry. I keep trying to tell you and that jerk that I do not get angry. If somebody do something to me, I do something to them. This is common sense.
It'll be really easy because it's one of those, you know, latex masks.
You could do it. You could do it. Have a third face off too, and just throw Eddie Murphy from the Clumps in there too.
No, Eddie Murphy from the Clumps is in prison, and he's playing one of the broads in the family.
Eddie Murphy is the brother. No, already used Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy is the sister that's in prison.
One of the Clumps.
Eddie Murphy is the sister, and everyone else in prison.
Yes, like
everyone in prison is a different Eddie Murphy character.
Dinner table scene,
and just in several suits. The old man from Coming to America, he's in prison as well.
Does he ever get to do his sweet, sweet catchphrase? Oh, Hercules, Hercules, Hercules.
Yes.
I don't know where you put that bomb.
Travis, jokes aside.
Yeah.
Napier isn't taking this seriously, but I'm taking this very seriously.
I love the comedy of his. I would watch his movie.
Now, the original Face Off, it's very campy.
But it's played very straight.
It's played straight, but at the same time, it's not. It's ridiculous. I think one of the opening scenes, like Nicolas Cage dresses as a priest and like fucks a nun and shoots somebody or something.
I never really enjoy the Messiah. In fact, I think it's fucking boring. But your voice makes even a hack like him seem like a genius.
I mean, it's insane. It's a nuts movie.
It is nuts.
And the premise is ridiculous. But if you're
he's
going...
He's constantly saying inappropriate things to underage people like, I could eat a peach for hours.
Mm. You know, I can eat a peach for hours. If I were to send you flowers, where would I... Wait, let me rephrase. If I were to let you suck my tongue, would you be grateful?
If you're going to take this movie seriously, if you're going to take the subject matter seriously, or if you're going to go the completely opposite direction and just make it ridiculous, I feel like I want the right actors in place to do either. And that is why I've decided for my remake of Face Off, I'm going with, in the role of Sean Archer, Gary Oldman, mm-hmm. and in the role of Caster Troy, Guy Pearce.
Ooh.
A Gary Oldman, Guy Pearce Face Off.
You can just feel the details. The bits and pieces you never bothered to put into words. And you can feel these extreme moments, even if you don't want to. You put these together and you get the feel of a person. Enough to know how much you miss them. And how much you hate the person who took them away.
Manny, bring me everyone.
What do you mean everyone?
Everyone!
What the hell are you doing?
I am bringing you back from the dead.
I was dead.
Yeah, and so far I think I prefer you that way. Come on, that's enough foreplay. We're gonna get out of here.
I take no pleasure in taking a life if it's from a person who doesn't care about it.
I still would see mine first.
So Gary Oldman is married to Diane Lane, whose
right.
daughter
is there's a 7-year age difference. I figured that was acceptable.
That's negligible.
Guy Pearce had right. a baby with Taraji P. Henderson, and I think their age difference was like 2 years. So that one is fine, too.
I like it. I'd watch that motion picture as well.
And I feel like... If like the Caster Troy character was over the top, it would give both of them the opportunity to play an over the top villain, both of which have done that very well in the past.
Hell yeah, they have. Yeah. True romance, baby.
Yeah. And they've both played straight characters to a certain degree too that are very good. So mm-hmm. I think
I could agree. Yeah.
If we're taking this seriously, which Napier obviously is not, Travis.
I took it just as seriously as the producers that actually made the movie.
I love Napier's Face Off. I love it.
How do you explain the, foot and a half height difference between the two actors? Oh, we don't.
For the new anti-inflammatories, healing takes days, not weeks. Your blood types won't match, but Pollux won't know that. Height difference is negligible. Skin pigment, eye pigment, both almost identical. We'll use laser shears for the hairline, micro plugs for body hair. We'll do an abdominoplasty, take care of those love handles.
Fuck hey, man, I'm wearing some big Mario shoes. How about you tell me where that bomb is?
That's when we go, if you want to go serious black face-off, we do... Idris Elba as Sean Archer and then Kevin Hart as Caster Troy.
That's what I was thinking, but I was thinking the gender swap thing could be a selling point.
Oh man, I don't care how ridiculous that movie sounds. That movie, everybody would see that movie.
Oh absolutely. And everybody would talk about it. I think that would just be a cultural event.
I think so as well.
Like everybody, they'd be like, did you see that fucking whacked out Face-Off remake with Madea, Big Mama? Yeah, wasn't it crazy when Eddie Murphy from The Clump showed up?
He was everyone in the jail.
He was the prisoners, he was the guards. I couldn't take it.
Did you see Precious almost look like she was going to have a heart attack when she had to like grab that gun and like run up the stairs at the end?
Oh God, Mike! During the scene where they're removing the faces, they're just removing the latex masks, and everybody's acting just completely like, oh, he took off their face. Ugh.
So
but
in
they
this
still
movie,
have all those monitors and shit set up like it's super scientific.
Is yes. Martin Lawrence just going to be dressed up as Madea and do like a Madea impression?
No, Martin Lawrence was Big Mama. But yeah,
but I'm saying now he's going to be Madea, right?
Yeah, he's going to be Madea. Like they're putting on each other's outfits and yes. fat suits.
Take the fat suits off and swap them.
So Travis,
oh my God.
Big moment here.
All right, here it is. Gunshots all around. Sweet John Woo, slow down. For Sean Archer, I cast Michael Fassbender. And also, because I would like to keep that ridiculousness of Caster Troy and have him go a little bonkers sometimes, I cast Sam Rockwell as Caster Troy.
Ooh, Sam Rockwell's a good pick.
Because he can also do the same thing where it's, you know, very straight, and then he is also the best bonkers actor that ever existed.
What do you know about me?
Is it possible in the short term that you might be slightly mad at me?
Then you'll notice stay out of my head.
I'm going to kill your whole family. I'm going to burn your house down. I'm going to kill all your children. And then I'm going to kill you. You're dead, you hear me? You're dead.
Gandhi was wrong. Balls to come right out and say it.
What's your name? I didn't catch your name. Hey, come again?
So Fassbender is married to Rosamund Pike, and they have a daughter, Chloe Grace Moretz. And Sam Rockwell somehow got Rosario Dawson to father, or to yeah, to have sex with him and produce a child.
In the Facebook conversation, Adson suggested Michael Fassbender and Brad Pitt, with Kate Beckinsale playing the role of Eve Archer.
That's interesting.
That's interesting. Yeah. I'd watch any of the. I would watch any kind of Face Off remake, I feel like.
They could make a new Face Off every year, and I would see every one of them. I do have a bonus casting for a bonus character who is not a big part of the movie, but is in it through the entire thing. You remember that big giant white guy that gets shot in the neck? That's one of Caster Troy's guys, who is also the brother to Sasha, I believe.
Yes.
I cast The Rock.
Ooh.
The Rock.
Just so he can get shot in the neck.
I also claim that character for my movie. But also in my movie, The Rock would play abroad.
The Rock is going to be...
He is also going to be in a titty suit.
Why haven't they made that movie yet? I feel like The Rock would say yes to any movie that they offered to make him.
You mean like the fucking Tooth Fairy movie?
Yeah. Why haven't they put The Rock in a dress yet and made Rockina the movie?
They're waiting for mine.
They should do that. They should like do like a witness protection The Rock movie where he has to pretend to be a lady.
I feel like it's coming.
It's gotta, right?
Right. They're probably already making that movie.
It's like the only thing he hasn't done thus far is like do a lady dress up as a lady movie.
So that's it, guys. Our
grand recasting.
Our recasting of the 1997 film Face Off. The remake is imminent, so we might as well get ahead of it and try to make it as good as we can.
We need a quality director on this thing too. And I either the guy that did The Raid, Gareth Evans, I think would be a good one. Or James Wan, who recently did the newest Fast and the Furious movie.
What about the Lin guy that's putting the Beastie Boys in Star Trek? Let's get him.
Yeah, okay, we could do it. He could take a stab at it too.
Lots of motorcycles and explosions. This is what all Face Off remakes need.
Yep. Stylized violence. Yes.
I'm going with Kubrick.
Kubrick's dead.
From the grave.
Yeah, I know.
Stanley Kubrick is going to direct Madea and Big Mama.
Yes. just while he's there, just completely looking down his nose at everything, saying he's too good for this shit, and making the entire experience horrible for the actors and the rest of the cast.
But really, Kubrick is going to direct this via Ouija board or medium, like psychic medium.
We're going to have a doll dressed up like Kubrick. We're going to roll dice and then throw darts at a board using his puppet hand, and we're going to say he directed it.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to be having a lot of fun making the trailer for Napier's movie.
You might have to extend this to be a next week segment, because you could really put some work into this if you really wanted to waste a lot of time.
So who do you think did it best? Be sure to do all of your social media commenting and stuff at WFOD show on Twitter. You can voicemail at us at 636-487-HAND or email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. Let us know who won.
And also, we'd still like to hear your picks.
Right. Can you do it better than we just did? I think not. But let's hear it. Let's throw it out there. Let's see what we can get done. It's all for the love of the game, folks.
Yeah, let's start a dialogue about this face-off reboot.
And what do you think the next one we should do is?
Face-off part two.
Face-off two.
Face off to the Electric Boogaloo.
They all just break dance.
I feel like it's imminent that we do Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, that's coming too.
We're probably going to have to do Lethal Weapon pretty soon.
That would be so hard to do. And you'd have to do like Lethal Weapon 4 when you finally have all of the characters.
What's funny is they've already kind of remade Lethal Weapon so many times. I mean, like that Cop Out was really kind of going for a Lethal Weapon thing with Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan.
Yeah, Rush Hour was like a comedy Lethal Weapon.
Right. There's been a lot of Lethal Weapons. I think there's a Lethal Weapon coming out this year with The Rock and Kevin Hart.
I'm going for
I'll watch that. Central Intelligence, I think it's called.
Which is really kind of Lethal Weapon-y.
Yeah.
I want to do a Rush Hour with Kevin Hart and that dude from Ong Bak. I think that would be hilarious.
I'd watch that too. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, that was good times. Two shows this week, so make sure to set your calendars to check out the second episode or the first episode, depending on what order I put them together. I haven't really worked it out yet. So
enjoy double episodes.
However, you should go to the website every single day just to make sure.
Yeah. There's things on there that you should look at.
Napier's going to start his blog this week.
Yeah, Napier's blog.
I'm going to write about things that go into my brain and then not finish them. You can experience my attention deficit disorder in real time on our website.
You have to automatically post it. So just when you're done, because I think the WordPress automatically refreshes itself. So it would just say, and then you just stop. It's like mid thought. It's just there.
Maybe we should turn Ask Dr. Napier into a blog. Like people can send their questions to Dr. Napier and he can write them a response.
I think that's an amazing idea.
So send your questions for Dr. Napier to WFODshow@gmail.com.
You know what that's going to turn into? It's going to turn into me pretending to be a listener.
And Dr. Napier will respond to you on the website. It will be a new feature on the website. He'll be like Dr. Ruth. And
people, or Ask Abby.
People can reference Dr. Napier's well wishes and quality tips on surviving life.
It'll be like, Dear Prudence, but for people with no lives and low expectations.
Obviously, people have a lot of problems, and you can solve them, right?
Yeah.
A
And if he cannot solve them, I definitely can.
It's either me or the roller coaster, folks.
Well, that's my mama.
You to know it's over.
Well, bye.
Thank you for listening. You can hear us live every Monday night at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. You can download all of our past episodes as well as other goodies at wfodix.com. Pull up our show on iTunes, Stitcher, or the TuneIn app. You can follow us on Twitter at WFODix. You can also follow Travis at ProduceTravis or Drunk at DrunkardSTL. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/WFODix. You can email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call when we're live or leave us a message that we may play later on. That phone number is 636-487-4263. Again, thank you for listening. We will see you back here next week.
Fucking, oh. Oh, God, this is excellent. Bravo. Bravo.
What do you want?
Take one goddamn guess.